We're delighted that you're here to worship with us today. Did you know that the first Sabbath school for our church was held right here in Rochester, New York, way back in 1853? Were there anyone here at that Sabbath school? No? Okay. Evidently, James White started that custom way back then. What a legacy we have. And so I'd like to ask you to stand now and join me in reciting the fourth commandment. So let's all stand and recite the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Thank you so much. Stay standing, please. We're going to have our opening prayer, and the rest of the program will follow as listed in the program in the guide here.
Dear Jesus, we want to welcome you this morning to our Sabbath school. As we study your word, become better acquainted with you, may we reflect your life, your character, and everything that we do. May the Sabbath school become a blessing to us that we may share with our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have another hymn to sing. Let's turn to number 384. 384, safely through another week. Let's stand as we sing.
Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in His courts.
Lord, us, Lord, a taste of a Good morning. You know, when Joellen asked me to do a mission story, it gave me pause because I've never been out of the United States. I never quite considered what we were doing at Edson Farm Mission until she mentioned it, and I started thinking about it. I says, you know, really it is. It is a mission. And I was starting to think back way back, maybe 40 years ago, we used to drive that area in the corners of Route 27 and 7. There was a barn, and everybody thought that was Hiram Edson's barn. Well, my father has a very analytical mind, and when he says something, it's annotated. You got to be sure he knows. So he was suspicious that this barn that everybody says was Hiram Edson's barn, sure enough, when he went tracing it back, the deeds, it was not. So it kind of crushed our spirit about Hiram Edson. We share a love of Adventist history, my father and I do, and we were very proud of the fact that Hiram Edson was in this area and came up with what he did about the sanctuary. So the sanctuary was very important to us. We liked the idea. And finally, when they decided to actually buy a piece of property to Hiram Edson's, it was, my father just was ecstatic. I mean, he was just, you couldn't tell by looking at him, but inside he was smiling. And then when we put his father's barn on the property, he just went ballistic. God, it was the greatest thing in the world. But never wanting to stand still, he decided that you really ought to fix up this house that was there. Well, if anybody's been out there and looked at the house that was there, it was beyond fixing up. All the main support beams had been cut, fire had ravaged part of it, and come to find out, it was built maybe 20 or 30 years after 1844. So the historical committee came up with the idea of putting a replacement house there that looked like a 1820s house that Hiram Edson would actually have been in. Well, that's when all the trouble started. We went to meeting after meeting with the town and with the county, and each one of these meetings you would have to explain your faith. They would wonder, why in the world are you putting this house here and calling it visitor center. Thank you. And jumping ahead a little bit, we had a architect. Kate Blakemore was our architect, and she worked with us on getting the permit process through, which was a long, drawn-out process. She's not an Adventist. She doesn't know about Hiram Edson that well. Well, she didn't when she started. So she was the first one that we had to explain things to, how Hiram Edson was who he was and how it pertained to our faith. Of course, when you start in this particular area especially, you're lumped with, well, you're Mormons, right? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists, get confused. No, we're not. We believe differently. But then it can't leave it at that. You have to explain. Well, we're sitting in front of a board with straight faces. You know, they're very stern, and we're you know, afraid that they're going to turn us down again. And we're explaining the concepts of our faith to these people who are not very receptive at all. And that was our second mission. We explained to a lot of people in Ontario County, in the town of Manchester, what Adventists believe. And that's before we ever started on the project. Once we started on the project, things went light years ahead. We had people's neighbors all stopped in wondering, what are you doing? We're Seventh-day Adventists. This is Hiram Edson's farm. We're putting a center here. Why? Because it's historic. Well, why is it historic? And you have to go back and explain the sanctuary service. Well, Hiram Edson, the sanctuary service. And of course, you have to explain your name, the Seventh-day Adventist. And then, to jump ahead once more, we had a sign put up. Of course, the sign, if you've ever been out there, and when you go out this afternoon, you'll see the sign. It says, the birthplace the theological birthplace of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, you would be amazed how many people have no idea what theological means. So they come in off the road while I'm trying to work, and they're saying, "Could you please explain what this is? What is theological?" I says, of course, I had my Bible, and I said, "Bible, theological is the belief in the Bible, basically." Okay, birthplace of Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, this is where the sanctuary came with the Sabbath and the State of the Dead, all came together, this one house. And you can't leave it at that. You have to explain what the sanctuary service is. You have to explain what the Sabbath is. And you have to explain the State of the Dead. And meanwhile, nothing is getting done on the house. But you're feeling good about it. And it's amazing how many people went away with a knowledge of what we believe just from that sign that we put up. And then the next and final step up till this point is the people who came to work on the house. Because we did not have the volunteers necessary to get done on our deadline, we hired some outside help. Well, the outside help came and they had the same questions. Except I had a captive audience at that point. I would explain to them while they were working or trying to work what the Seventh-day Sabbath was. And of course, they're all Sunday keepers, so they think I'm nuts. So you give them the Bible and you say, "Show me where it says to keep Sunday." And they're sure it's in there because they've been keeping Sunday. And everybody else keeps Sunday, so it's got to be there. And they can't find it. And you go through the sanctuary service, and the easiest part I could direct them toward was Hebrews, because Hebrews is, to me, it's easy to understand. And the State of the Dead, we have the text to show them the State of the Dead. So they're going away, and I'm thinking, after Joellen says, you know, this is a mission field, it actually is a mission field. The hundreds of people that we actually touched with a message just because we're putting up this convention center.